Hey gearheads, and welcome to Garage Talk, a discussion about all things automotive. I'm Corey.
And I'm Matt. And each week this podcast will serve as a catalyst for discussion on all sorts of topics that grind our gears, rev our engines, and I said engines,
yes.
not EVs.
I wasn't even going to say anything.
That's good. That's good. We're talking tech this week.
Yes.
I wanted to make sure that we were on the right foot coming into this.
Yeah. I've got a lot of V8 talk on this week's episode.
All right, let's do it.
Internal combustion
stuff. Yes.
Hardly any EV talk, and we can breeze right over it if you wish. But yes.
Nobody cares about EVs, Corey.
People care. People care. I say we've got a passionate, let us know, comment, find us on Facebook.
How wrong am I? Go ahead and tell me. Come on.
Let us know.
I can handle it.
If you're, I mean, we've interviewed Chris Hall of Wrangler 4xe Fans. He is
great guy.
Very passionate.
Great guy.
He cares.
Yeah.
Okay. On this week's episode, I think we've already rattled some cages.
What were we talking about?
But this week, we want to address an article that came out this past week since our last chance to sit down and record, talking about further impacts of the chip shortage on automotive production. It is the problem that persists. It's a problem that we wish would just go away. You look at dealer lots and just see how empty they are. And is it the new normal? Yes, exactly. It is
very,
very depressing. I did start off on a positive note here. So I saw an article by Yahoo News. So take it with a grain of salt because, you know, Yahoo News.
Right, right.
What do they even do anymore? Like, I've got an email address that's like a burner email address to them that I send all my junk mail to. But like, seriously, Yahoo is not what it used to be. Anyway, Yahoo News was reporting on the fact that Toyota is claiming that they are on the other end of the hill. That
really?
They have seen the worst of it and they should be back on target within a few months. And we should start seeing full Toyota dealership lots soon.
Interesting.
Which, if that is the case,
right?
How many people, brand loyal or not, are going to start shopping Toyota dealer lots? Because
they have cars.
cars are plenty on the lot. And Toyota has made a shift here lately. I believe the phrase going around internally is no boring cars. The new Tundra's face is proof that boring has gone out the window, especially when it comes to styling. The new Avalon with the massive grille, which, you know, rest in peace. The Camry is not the Camry I grew up with when I was going through high school and stuff like that. They are definitely not making boring cars anymore. There is visual interest, if not actual interest, to back them up.
There's a Toyota Racing Development Camry.
Yeah. Like, and Avalon.
The economy car of the 1990s, the one that everybody wanted because it got good mileage,
right,
now has a sports version.
Yeah. Well, they race it on NASCAR.
Yeah.
So to speak.
Ish. Yeah. Yeah.
They say.
No, but it's a double-edged sword, too. We talked about inventory and chip issues with Mr. Hall.
Monty Hall. Hall, Buick, Pontiac, GMC. And yes, I threw Pontiac in there because I'm old school.
But it was interesting to hear that if you're selling cars, you get more cars.
Right.
So it really is like if you can't move the cars that you have, the manufacturers are not going to send you anymore, which means your lots continue to sit empty. So with that, if Toyota really is on the ball, and they're not the only ones, Ford has decided to fix their own chip issue by making their own chips.
Right. So won't be an immediate fix.
It won't be immediate, no, but I'm curious to see how long it takes, maybe a month or two.
GM is saying something very similar themselves. So big auto manufacturers cannot just sit and wait for these semiconductors to come back online.
Right.
They are exhausting all possible avenues. And the Yahoo News article I read about Toyota did not specify, and they could not find out how Toyota has fixed their issues. But Toyota was one of the last manufacturers hit as well, because they were using just-in-time production as it was.
Right.
So they were making just what was needed as it was needed, getting them out to the right place. And they had that whole efficiency baked in.
Oh, yeah.
So now whatever they have found, whatever magic sauce, secret sauce they have found, if this article is true, that they are able to ramp back up before anyone else,
yeah,
it will really be interesting to see the long-term implications of what this does to the entire industry. Because, yeah, like I said, you and I have driven Toyotas, and I'm coming around on them. Like, I'm...
Oh, yeah.
Again, no boring cars. The second fastest vehicle in their lineup is the RAV4 Prime. Like,
easy.
I know. A vehicle that can carry five people and stuff and move. But I would rather have the Supra.
Of the two, definitely.
Right. But it's just insane, the possibilities to have one manufacturer with cars on the lot and everyone else just waiting for more to show up.
Yeah.
Because the market has shown that people still want new cars. People are still buying them at a premium. And
oh, yeah. Oh.
If you can, more power to you.
Good grief.
But, like, let's wait it out. Let's let the backlog kind of catch up to us. Yeah, like, I don't know. It's just
in
crazy.
In some wild and crazy cases, 100% markup.
Yeah.
You're paying double for the same vehicle. That is insane.
Yeah. We've heard stories of people being offered values for their used vehicle that they've had for a year or two higher than what they paid for it when it was new.
Yeah.
So you've put miles on it, you've enjoyed it, you've added wear and tear to it, and it is now worth more than it was when you bought it.
It has appreciated instead of depreciated.
That doesn't happen a whole lot in the automotive world.
Oh, man.
In a short period of time. Now, you know, if you could get a first-year model C8, especially with all the woes that happened rolling out the 2020s and COVID and all that fun stuff, I said the word. If you got a first-year model Bronco, more power to you, because God bless it. There are some vehicles that you can get, stick in a garage, maintain, keep up, and they'll be worth something 10, 15, 20 years down the road. But to have like a Jeep Wrangler Rubicon appreciate in 3 years' time when you've put hard miles on them
is
beyond me. So, well,
two of our friends that have bought trucks within the past 12 months or so are going to sell their truck. I can't talk this evening.
That might be a problem.
And the values that they're given on those trucks specifically, one's an F-150 Power Boost and one is a Gladiator, are more than they currently owe on their, they're not quite what they paid for them, but they're more than what they owe on the vehicles. So they're making money in the process.
Yep.
And they got to use the truck for 6 months or 12 months or whatever. Yep. So
It's crazy what the market is doing right now with the shortage of new vehicles and the hurt that is put on the used car market and the supply and demand curve and all that fun stuff from
all the fun
economics. Very, very interesting time to be alive and watching the automotive industry. Not exactly a great time to be an executive in the automotive industry, because today's episode, we're going to be talking about the hard choices that vehicle manufacturers are making in order to continue producing vehicles in lieu of receiving all the chips that they need.
Yeah, there's some really tough blows on this list.
So this list is very strange, and
there's a lot of government, General Motors in this mix too.
And several that just have me, some I'm screaming, shouting, yippee, hooray, but others I'm like, buddy, how does that make sense?
That's a luxury vehicle. How do you sell that without a... But that doesn't.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh no, or, it doesn't make any sense.
It's November. How are so? Yeah. yeah. So let's go in and jump down this list, and we will link it in the comments, Matt. Be sure you know put the link to this in the
got
show
it.
Notes.
Yeah.
So
yeah. You'll double check me because
yes, yes, it's a Car and Driver article.
Me and Tech don't get along.
Okay. It's a Car and Driver article put out on November 13th. So we are a little over a week away from its writing. It has been updated since. But some new car features that are being cut while vehicle manufacturers are waiting for the full slate of chips that they need to produce vehicles. We've already reported on this podcast how Ford, most notably, they're not the only ones, but Ford, most notably, continued producing F-150s
yeah.
and sitting them on a lot.
Just piled them up.
Until they got the necessary parts, they'd install them later and ship them out. So, supply and demand,
it's literally hundreds of millions of dollars worth of trucks sitting in a parking lot.
Just waiting for something.
Yeah, it's going to be nuts. When all this stuff hits, it's just going to be nuts.
Yeah, and again, if that Toyota article I read from Yahoo News is true, if they are able to be back at full capacity by the end of 2021 and have full dealer lots within months ahead of everyone else, we have a t-shirt. It's going to be nuts.
It's definitely going to be nuts.
All right, so the first one on the list.
Okay. One more thing, and then we'll jump into the list. I had to smile when I pulled it up because it was a negative article.
Yeah.
And the GIF they use is the title picture here is Cadillac.
We'll get into that in a moment because that's already been rectified. They should change that. But anywho, the first one on the list is none other than Bavarian Motor Works, BMW. And to your point, luxury vehicle. You wouldn't expect them to cut back on things, and they are cutting back on the touchscreen capability. So,
this is one of those head scratchers.
They have multiple interfaces in which you can interact with the infotainment.
Right.
So, they're just banking on that. But as the article reads, they are pulling the touchscreen functionality from 3 Series, 4 Series, and Z4 and X5 and X6 and X7. So
basically
practically their entire lineup.
The gravy right. of the lineup is this is terrible.
Any model that loses its touchscreen and was also ordered with the parking assistant package will lose BMW's backup assistance technology. So
what?
Yeah,
you mean people are going to have to back up their own vehicle?
Their own BMW?
No.
Yes. Very interesting. This list is going to get more intriguing the further down we go, because
I feel like I should caveat most of this episode by saying about 80% of what I say in this episode will be sarcasm.
Especially because the next one on the list is Cadillac.
Yeah, go ahead.
So, this is the one that you are so excited to see because it was the featured image of this article, and that is Cadillac's Super Cruise. They temporarily halted, but it is back in full force. It is fully resumed. So, yes. Very interesting that they would pull such a highly touted new feature that really sets them apart. It is the first hands-free system of this nature that has been implemented wide scale in a vehicle. So yes, there's Tesla Autopilot and all that good stuff. This goes a little bit further in that it uses LiDAR and pre-mapped all the roads and yada 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 technical stuff. But it is very interesting that the like key defining feature that Cadillac wants their vehicles to be known for temporarily got halted.
Right.
Because of a chip shortage.
Yeah, we're not doing that.
Yeah, but like I said, they're already back. So this next one, not really a big surprise because I just see radio as a medium kind of struggling as a whole. I mean, if you're listening to us right now, you're into the whole internet thing and listening to podcasts while you drive, listening to
www.
Oh my goodness, you're really channeling here, East Texan on that one. But yes, you're familiar with Spot. You probably have a Spotify account, Apple Music, something along those lines.
The interwebs.
So when GM says HD radio, yeah, we're going to kill that one. I don't see that as a big shocker. Would not hurt me as a shopper to say, oh, that's not on there? Okay.
Well, my first thought was,
am I going to get $5 back? Like, what is?
My first thought was, the heck is HD radio? Like, how does that, what do you, we went from stereo to satellite radio.
Yeah.
Where did HD come from?
You're asking the wrong, you're the audiophile of the two of us, so.
I'm saying, like, I didn't even know it existed.
I will say, I joked about it just a second ago, GM is offering a $50 credit for the lack of this feature, so.
Oh, good. $50 back on an $80,000 truck, here we go.
Go out to dinner on that one, you know, treat the wife, you know, there's that Brad Paisley song, get a little mud on the tires, you know.
Yeah, your payment's $1,125 instead of $1,175.
All right. This is perhaps the biggest deal breaker on the list for me, especially the time of year that we currently find ourselves in. And that is Chevrolet GMC pulling heated seats and heated steering wheels from the list of features.
You know, there are some features that I can live without. Heated and cooled seats are quickly becoming ones that I would...
I'm spoiling you with this, aren't I?
Be tempted to not live without.
Right.
But I'm thinking on the backside, like, what happens 4 or 5 years from now when we forget that there was a pandemic and you go to sell that truck? Does it have heated seats? Well... No, this was a 2021, and GM ran out of chips, and so... I'm sorry.
It'll make the ones that do have it even more.
Well, yeah, but I mean,
this is a collector's edition. It actually got out the door with heated and cooled seats. And heated steering wheel. What's our phrase? Toasty buns and warm hands?
That's right.
So, yeah, we are a big, big proponent of toasty buns and warm hands.
Yes.
Especially this time of year. I was built in the humidity and heat of Houston, Texas. Do not give me this cold stuff. Like, warm me up, please.
I like the cold weather. I don't like being cold.
Get the chill out of my bones.
Yes.
As with the HD radio, General Motors is offering a credit of $150 up to $500 per instance of missing heated seats, heated steering wheel. So, you know, just there's a little bit more money to go out to dinner.
Can you appreciate that value with inflation over the next 10 years? And
No. All right. Your precious Famoco found its way on the list, and this, too, does not bother me in the slightest.
Who uses the navigation in the vehicle anymore?
I have started, as a part of vehicle testing, making sure that I try out the built-in navigation in vehicles.
You know what one of Top Gear's favorite bits was to do?
Was how horrible is the navigation?
Put James May in a car that is in the wrong language, in the wrong city, in the wrong country, and have him try and figure out sat-nav in some of these $300,000 sports cars.
Yeah.
Because nobody uses them.
Let's face it. Apple Maps, Google Maps, Waze, you name it. If it's on your smartphone and they have Apple CarPlay and Android Auto built in, 9 times out of 10, I'm using that one, especially on long road trips. Me and my wife prefer Waze because of features, and we're hard-pressed to navigate away from that. So, yeah, built-in nav.
Okay.
Meh. Let's see. It's
Ford. They sell these things.
I don't see any Ford credits here. Nope. See, at least GM's giving me money on the back end.
Where's
my money in the pocket here, Famoco?
You can figure it out on your own. There's a map at the gas station.
Oh boy, GM yet again on the list.
Like 80% of these are like
they are on here a lot. You will find that there are some brands that aren't on here like at all. But yeah, GM back on here for a feature I am yet to really just fall in love with, and I'm a techie, like built-in Qi wireless charging.
Here's the issue I have with wireless charging.
Mm-hmm.
Either make it work or don't put it in the rig.
Yes.
Period.
Absolutely. Winner, winner, chicken dinner.
So, in this particular case, and that was, for those of you questioning, that was not sarcasm. I was being serious about that. Either make it work
score.
Or nix it completely. That one doesn't bother me.
Right. So, this one is a $75 credit if it's missing off your vehicle.
You mean you got to plug in your phone instead of just laying it down somewhere?
No, it's just the worst. So, vehicles that have just infuriated me, the Mach-E that you and I drove, especially on the 1,200-mile road trip that I took across Texas.
Your fault, not mine.
It was intermittent at best. And the fact that I was using it for, I don't believe I was using it for navigation. I was using the built-in navigation on the Mach-E in this instance because of the charging network and all that
right,
stuff.
Right.
But I was listening to music through it. I'll say that. And it was just maintaining the power level when it worked.
Yeah.
So basically it was making my phone very hot is all it was doing. But half of the time it wasn't even working, even though like I placed it just so and held my mouth just right. And maybe it was going to work. And that's been my problem with most of the units that I've come across is they're so finicky in exactly how you have to place it. We've been in a couple Kias that have like a little slot you drop it in.
Yeah.
And even that is hit or miss.
Oh,
and
yeah.
You and I have vastly different sized phones. I've
right.
got the 12 Pro Max, the big phone.
I've got the mini.
And it's got to be able to work for both of those no yeah. matter how you use it. So,
yeah.
Wireless charging.
Yeah.
Poof.
Yeah.
I will note, you and I were at the LA Auto Show.
Yes.
We saw the redesigned interior of the 2022 Silverados.
Yes.
And I noted the very unique placement of where they put the wireless charger.
Yes.
I'm intrigued.
I hope it works.
Right. You and I have not gotten a lot of wheel time in a fully gussied up, I will say, General Motors product
right.
to really put their implementation of wireless charging to the test. The C8 I was in, it was a like very stiff cradle back behind you and trying to get it in the, it didn't really.
It doesn't make any sense.
I think I strained a muscle in my neck trying to get it. Yeah, it didn't work. So we're yet to really find real seat time in a GM vehicle. So I'm not going to say yay or nay on, yeah, this is a big problem.
Right.
I am a GM fanboy. I would prefer to have it as an option, but I have found, we all know plugging your phone in charges it faster anyway.
Right.
So 9 times out of 10, I'm plugging it in.
Yeah. Well, and again, with the implementation of Apple CarPlay, which works better when you plug your phone
Absolutely.
In anyway.
Right.
Because
especially when you're doing what we're doing yeah. and hopping in and out of rigs and swapping rigs and
yeah, yeah,
technology. It's, yeah, it's great when it works.
Short commercial break. If you're keeping score and you're buying multiple General Motors vehicles, you have now a credit of $625. Back to our regularly scheduled programming.
That's a monthly payment right there.
That's half of a monthly payment at best.
It depends on what you're buying.
And that's to buy 3 different rigs so far.
If I got a Camaro LT1, like $35,000 out the door, V8,
right.
rear-wheel drive,
uh-huh.
I'm getting the stick.
Yeah.
I mean, that's
right.
a payment right there.
Right.
So
does the Camaro LT1 have Super Cruise?
Okay. Yeah.
So, does it have wireless charging?
If you option it right,
which makes the price go up,
right?
And at the moment, no.
Very interested to see another German brand on the list. especially a German luxury brand. This one kind of hurts because we've got a strong partnership with the Mercedes-Benz of Tyler dealership,
which I don't think Holly realizes how detrimental this could be at some point.
Actually, I think Holly is more in love with the Mercedes I've been bringing home lately than I am.
Uh-oh.
Which is saying something, because the V8 bi-turbos that I've been bringing home, I'm really in love with. They sound so good.
They are definitely not American V8s.
Right, right. And I can say we can no longer pass a G-Wagon without either one of us pointing it out. Just
there you go.
I got to start saving that.
All right, so what's the marks missing?
Got to get a big red bow on a G-Wagon and be like, we've got this for 12 hours. Enjoy.
That's right.
That's all I can
Merry afford. Christmas for that's 12
all,
hours.
That's all I can afford. So, yes, the Benz. Premium audio. So, we might have to dig into the details on exactly what that means. LED lights and more. So, it's not just one thing. It's a handful of things. Let's get in here. List includes wireless smartphone and charging pads. Oh, there it is again. Hands-free rear access system. Don't care. Some LED headlights and some audio systems, which, again, the V8 bi-turbos I've been bringing back, I don't really care about the Burmester sound system. The sound system I care about are right. The 8 cylinders in front and the 4 tailpipes in the
right,
back.
Right, 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 right.
So, yeah.
The LED headlights is kind of interesting. I guess this will be at least a part of my summation. We've got a few more to go through here. So maybe I'll save it till later, but my summation of all this. But LED headlights are really nice.
They are. Especially like, have you seen Nelly Cruz's headlights lately? They're showing their age. They need a little bit of love and attention.
Every time it's anywhere close to dusk, and we're in the Fusion, it's like, I got to do something different. This is awful.
Yes.
Awful.
Yes. So, I am glad to say that they haven't pulled all their accent lighting from the inside, because that's one thing Mercedes just, oh my goodness. They have interior ambient lighting down. Like, no question. They are the coolest vehicles to be in at night. You can do monochrome color, so everything can be red. And then they've got a few built-in, like, Miami sunrise or some crazy, like, the one I really liked, it's a combination of red and blue. So the higher up you go, the bluer it gets. I love it. You should watch the Mercedes EQS video up on our channel, YouTube.
You leave that electric garbage out of this,
GT okay? Garage Talk. So, yeah, that's all I'll say there. Next one, don't really care. Again, we've already touched on it with Famoco, yeah. Nissan navigation systems, not a real big miss, again, but in Apple CarPlay and I'm good to go. So if that's all you're really giving up, no big deal.
And I will say, or add to this, if that's what's keeping you from buying a Nissan, you've not been around Nissan lately.
Right.
Like, oh my goodness.
You and I left the truck rodeo both astounded and a little bit in love with the new products from Nissan. And then we went to the LA Auto Show and really fell in love with the Z.
And we didn't even get to drive that one.
We didn't even get to sit inside it, open a door. We are salivating at the chance to get to drive the Z with a proper manual transmission.
Yes.
And
yes.
Say yes. Supra who. Because I really do think if the suspension tuning is done even remotely right, just the thrill factor of being able to row your own gears, 400 horsepower, out the rear tires, more for me.
Yeah.
So
yep.
Another thing that wasn't reported on Nissan in the big headline is spray and bed liners, $400 credit if you're missing that, which is not a big thing, but it's not chip shortage related, so I'm kind of confused.
Yeah.
Like,
and to go have somebody put in a bed liner, if you spend $400 only,
right,
you'll be doing it again in a couple of years.
Right, right.
So that's kind of.
They said it's on the 22 Frontier and Titan trucks starting in late October production run and will continue until further notice. So that one is very head scratchery.
Maybe the computer controlled arm that they used to spray in the bed liner is missing a super chip and they can't get one.
Yeah. So very interesting. The tow delete package on certain Pathfinder models, which eliminates the tow hitch receiver and wiring harness, will give you a $270 credit. So I hope you don't plan a tow in your new crossover because you may not be able to. All right, Matt, I'm going to let you introduce the next one because
you can't say it right.
You technically don't say it right either. If you're going to say the at the end of it, you have to pronounce it with the German accent. And you don't pronounce it with the German accent. So you might as well just say Porsche. That's right. Go ahead.
I feel assaulted.
I'm still waiting for the German accent. Next item on the list,
I don't want to spit all over the microphone with my German accent, so I'm just going to say Porsche way that Americans should say Porsche.
Okay.
All right. Eighteen-way adjustable seat.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Up, down, front, back, and the backrest. That's six.
You haven't been in the newest Lincoln products, have you?
Heck?
They've got like 58-way adjustable seats and top-of-the-line navigators.
18-way adjustable. That doesn't include like any kind of massage or heated or cooled or anything like that. Like,
90% of customers of this brand are not the enthusiasts that once made up the majority of the customer base. This is now a luxury SUV maker that makes very, very, very good sports cars on the side. And it's a shame.
It's a $2,000 option.
Right.
Almost a $2,100 option. $2,090 upgrade.
Will not be available for several months because the automaker couldn't get the chips. Yeah, that's a shame.
Wait a minute. This $2,090 upgrade, I have to say this because I've never seen this word before, allows the front occupants to adjust things like height and positions, of course, as well as squab inclination and depth. As well as, but wait, there's more, lumbar support level and the side bolsters.
Yes. So the dictionary says squab, either a young unfledged pigeon, not the case, or a thick stuffed cushion, especially one covering the seat of a chair or sofa. So, yes, the inclination of the seat. Somebody copied and pasted off of the press release on that one.
I don't even understand.
The good news to Porsche fans, is that this option is once again available to add to new Macan orders on Porsche's website. Macan?
I've always said it Macan, but
that's probably what it is. Until I get to drive one, I'm not going to be too like bent over backwards trying to get it right. But yeah, I'm sure I'll get roasted.
Porsche.
Yeah. All right. EV stuff. This is the extent of it right here. Tesla, USB ports, which is an interesting one, and passenger seat lumbar, which, meh.
For real?
Yeah. Like, most of the time, you're probably the only one in your car, as it is.
And well, never mind the fact that my 11-year-old doesn't need adjustable lumbar in the back seat.
Right. Ah, crap, we're back to GM. Come on, General.
Where's my sad trombone?
Man. Well, I will say the solace I will take in the fact that we are back to GM is I'm actually happy of this one. And this is one that has been long withstanding, and that is V8 cylinder deactivation.
It doesn't work.
it actually creates more of a problem in the long term. It's a short term fix for not even problem.
I am convinced that everything that is emissions related is Band-Aid to try and cover up the bigger issue. If you would simply take the technology and the capability and the science that we have now to make an engine run efficiently, we wouldn't need EGRs. Yep. We wouldn't need DPFs. Yep. We wouldn't need cylinder deactivation. I'm sorry, but this stuff is ridiculous.
Or the next thing missing off of GM vehicles, auto start stop.
It doesn't work. Trucks are getting the same mileage today as they got 30 years ago. Yep. It doesn't work.
But they are much bigger. That is, I'll play devil's advocate on that fact.
No, you won't convince me.
Stupid bigger compared to what size they were 30 years
ago. Corey, I have a computer in my hand that makes phone calls and has more computing power than all of the Apollo missions combined.
Yep, yep.
You can't tell me that in 30 years we can't figure out how to make an efficiently running V8. No flipping way.
I think I got him going. And what's interesting is you're more worked up about the one we're happy about than anything else.
It's fantastic, but it's pointless. Why put it in there at all?
When the news came out that they were removing these features because of the chip shortage, I'm like, oh, now it's time to buy a truck because the manufacturer's putting in the delete that I was going to install aftermarket down the road anyway.
Right, but except now they got to go through the process of confessing to the EPA that, it gets 21.3 miles to the gallon instead of 21.4 miles to the gallon. Oh, my goodness. We need to change the subject because I'm going to start cursing here in a minute. I'm fired up.
What's that we say at the start of every episode, Matt? Rev your engines, grind your gears. Yeah, I think we're there with this one. So that was a quick run through of the Car and Driver article highlighting some of the features that have hit the chopping block because of the automaker's chip shortage. I want to know from you, our listeners, have you bought a new vehicle since mid-2020 when this really started becoming an issue? Have you paid a markup? Have you paid sticker? Were you rejoicing to just pay sticker instead of a $4,000 to $40,000 markup? Like, we have seen ridiculous markups on vehicles, mostly because they are a new model and brand new in a limited capacity production run. But still, it's getting ridiculous. Have you bought a used vehicle for more than it's stickered for new? Like, we want to hear from you. I know there are extenuating circumstances. My wife and I have a friend was in a car wreck in Austin that totaled his rig. And
you got to have something.
Yeah, you got to buy something because he lives in Kilgore. It's not a super friendly commuter city if you don't have your own transportation. Let's face it, small town East Texas.
Yeah.
We're geographically expansive but small in population. We're not densely populated,
right,
put it that way. So getting here to there and everywhere in between, it's not like living in a major metropolitan area where you just hop on public transit. So we get it. There are situations, circumstances where, yeah, something happened. You need to purchase a vehicle. When people come asking me, I'm like, unless you just need it, wait a couple years. I'll tell you this, Matt. I have got not one, not two, but three communications. Local Chevy dealers trying to buy Nelly Cruz. Put ink to paper.
I'm done.
And electrons to the mail, the email, to try and get Nelly Cruz from me. The local Chevy dealership.
Can't even.
My just crested 80,000 miles as we were coming back from the airport from the LA Auto Show. Just crested 80,000 mile 2013 model Eco model manual transmission. No frills on it whatsoever. I haven't taken the best care of it in the world. Chevy Cruze is being headhunted by the local dealership. They're getting desperate, Matt. It's getting bad out there. I think
we're well beyond desperate. Well beyond desperate.
I would be lying if I said I wasn't intrigued. Because, again, you and I have joked about with press rigs coming in. You know, my wife's got a reliable vehicle that is our daily. Anytime we go out as a family, we generally take her vehicle. Mine could, you know, fund a little something else.
Yeah, you know.
Like a real little something else. Because, let's face it.
Yeah.
It's a 2013 Chevy Cruze Eco with a manual transmission. Well, and
when they buy it from you for $800, you know.
No, it was multiple thousands of dollars.
2,000? Is it
more than that?
Is it,
just keep going up. It's about what I would expect in a normal market to sell it for. So the fact that I'm just getting an auto-generated email saying that, I don't know. It
means that you could probably take it to Carvana for close to double that.
Yeah, or CarMax and see what CarMax
gives. Something.
It would be very interesting to see. But yeah, I got a good laugh each and every time I got contacted. I had to actually show Holly. I was like, look, they actually want Nelly. And like, I can't believe it.
Someone actually wants to buy this.
Sight unseen, more or less. They gave me a number without seeing.
Even beyond that, it's not that they want to buy something. It's that they think there's enough value in it to sell it to some other poor chap.
Oh, come on. She isn't that bad. Sure, there's
all right,
vomit in the back seat. That'll clean up. Anyway. You know, wonderful things happen when we turn Tucker around to be forward facing.
Goodness.
The car sickness incidence is dramatically reduced. But yeah. Yeah.
So I have two summations.
Okay.
Of this episode, of this article, of the status of
the status of the automotive industry.
Of the automotive industry to date. This is profound and all 13 of you that are listening will get to experience this profoundness. One is, nothing on this list keeps a vehicle from running.
Right. Which is the point, because they are cutting what somebody, like what I used to do in my old job for a grocery store, some nerd somewhere is analyzing the data and says, if we cut this, we will lose this many sales. If we cut that, we will lose that many sales. Flip. It's not a flip a coin. It's like, okay, no, it's, this is the better thing to
right,
cut.
Right.
But it's, I want to know
analytics.
Yeah. I want to know what decisions on the back end led to these final decisions that we actually get to see. But yes, to your point, yeah, nothing keeps it from running, which is the whole point. They're cutting right. the unnecessary things in order to keep producing and getting vehicles out there to the people who are willing to pay over sticker.
Unnecessary. You mean like cylinder deactivation?
I thought we were moving on, Matt. Calm down. Calm down.
Or auto stop start?
No, come on. Calm down. Calm down. Well, it'll be okay.
So my other point is, and this one I'll probably get a little more fired up on.
Okay.
Just go. In general. I'm so
bracing for impact.
If you have small children, I'm just kidding. A computer chip is a switchboard.
Yes.
It is on and off switches. It is resistors.
It's ones and zeros.
It's relays.
Yeah.
Okay? Everything that these super chips are doing could be done with wire and magnets and switches. And yet we have so overly complicated everything to do with the automotive world
It's all about packaging.
That now we have a super chip keeping a vehicle from operating. Thankfully, not completely.
Right.
But, or we're negotiating the process of trying to keep vehicles on the road over the sake of a computer. But it wasn't that long ago that there was an engine released in a pickup truck that did not need anything electronic at all. Like early 90s, literally 30 years ago.
Yeesh. Thanks for that.
The 12-valve Cummins, you know what it needs to run?
A little push.
Fuel?
Yeah.
That's it.
Yep.
Once it's running, it needs nothing. As long as you keep fuel pumping to it, it will continue to run. The one wire that is attached to that engine is to kill the fuel.
Yeah.
To turn the engine off. Like, how did we go from an engine that doesn't need anything to a vehicle that drives itself? That we have so entangled everything we do in technology to the point where we can't even build vehicles. Because, we don't have a computer chip. Well, dadgummit, my 30-year-old truck doesn't need any stupid computer chips.
Yep.
Why can't we build something? I'm serious. The technology going into the internal combustion engine right now, you can't tell me they can't build one more efficient than what we have right now. Period. I disagree 100%.
It's why there is the Boxer, why there's the inline, why there's the V, why there's a 90-degree V, why there's a hot V with the turbocharger. Like, there's a reason why there are so many different styles. It's because everybody's like, well, this will fix the problem. Well, it's got its own set of problems. The Wankel engine, it's supposed to be revolutionary, but not currently in mass production. But, please bring it back. Just so out of the box thinking, yet had so many issues of its own that it has not survived.
If there's a conspiracy theory to believe from me, it's that the auto manufacturers are so deeply built in bed with the oil companies that they refuse to make a vehicle that is efficient.
Then explain to me all the EVs, Matt. Please don't. We don't have enough time. I'm looking at the counter. I will say, to end this on a happy note.
I'm happy to go into it. If you want me to go into it, we'll both feet, baby.
So we started this episode talking about a Yahoo News article about a particular manufacturer that seemed to have cracked the problem, solved it, whatever the case may be. You know who I didn't hear on this list of manufacturers cutting features to continue producing cars? It's not to say that they're not doing it. I didn't hear Toyota on this list at all.
Nope.
And it just a little more credence to that Yahoo News article that, all right, maybe they've got it figured out that we're going to start seeing Yoda lots full of rigs in the very near future.
You know who else isn't on this list at all?
Who?
Stellantis.
Yeah. Is that
anything?
Yeah.
Stellantis.
I'm rather surprised. Again, not to say there isn't stuff being done in the background. You know, maybe they're in good with people over at Car and Driver.
Well, yeah, right. This is not the end-all be-all list, right. I'm sure, but it is fascinating to see, Toyota, Subaru, Stellantis, which is all things FCA and some.
Mazda went on there.
Mazda's not on
there. I'm starting to see a theme in some of the brands that we're listing off here, you know, excluding Stellantis. Where are they all based?
Where all the chips are made.
Hyundai Kia wasn't on here.
Hyundai Kia's not on there.
To say they all come from, one place. I will say one region.
Yeah.
One region.
Where all the chips are made.
ironically enough, I'm looking at your computer and I see a very similar ad on mine. The built-in advertisements on this page as we are looking at the news article.
Right.
I've got Kia Soul, standard Apple CarPlay, Android Auto. They're like, we're still making vehicles.
Oh, I love this one. We didn't wait for the future. We built our now.
Yes. Very, very timely and well-placed ads from
Kia. Oh, my goodness.
So, yeah, very, very fun stuff. All that being said, I've alluded to it several times in this episode. Matt and I did just recently return from the LA Auto Show. We've got a lot of fun content on our YouTube channel from the LA Auto Show. That's the extent of what I will say. There are both electrified vehicles.
Easy.
And some internal combustion, rear-wheel drive, manual transmission, V8-powered vehicles that we reviewed while in LA. Yep. So we had a lot of fun on that trip. If you haven't already, go subscribe to our YouTube channel, youtube.com/GT Garage Talk. You can find us behind the scenes, everything that we do before it's up on main channels, Facebook and Instagram, both at GT Garage Talk. And everything we do, you know,
on the interwebs.
On the interwebs, the www.gtgaragetalk.com. Until next time, bye.